Welcome to Passage to Profit, the road to entrepreneurship, where we talk with celebrities and entrepreneurs about their stories and their business ventures. Now it's time for our amazing guest. Todd Drolet doesn't just close deals. He turns commercial real estate into much-watched television with over $2 billion in transactions, 1,700-plus deals, and a hit A&E series that captures real negotiations, exploding, collapsing, and clawing their way back to life. Todd has built a multi-million dollar empire by outworking and outmaneuvering everyone in the room. Today, we're talking to the man who says, in business, there are no scripts, no excuses, and no mercy if you're not ready to win.
You should be my publicist. That was like the greatest introduction ever. Jeez.
What was the most intense, high-pressure moment you faced in your career?
So those were earlier on, as I've been doing this so many times and for so long. It just doesn't affect you the same way. Like, I was talking to somebody, they're like, you seem unaffected by everything. And I'm just very baseline all of the time. I don't react, but negotiating for a living, I always tell people, I'm like, people have tells. It's like when I'm talking to somebody, I'm looking at how they look. I'm listening to what they're saying, the manner in which they're saying it. Is there a slight hesitation? Is there a pattern differential in what they're saying? So I used to get nervous like anything, but it's like anything. You do something 1,000 times, 2,000 times, it kind of just wears off, but...
I mean, that's kind of part of the goal, though, right, is you do want to get comfortable working in routines and making decisions. That's sort of the bread and butter of the business. And then the growth comes from executing consistently but also taking calculated risks.
Yeah, it's 100% taking calculated risks because there's no guarantee in life about anything. So from a real estate standpoint, I know it inside and out, and I don't think about it, but that's why it's like, oh, we started a TV production company. Going to networks and trying to convince them, oh, there's 100 shows on TV about residential real estate and agents and flipping, but there should be a docuseries about this $1 trillion industry. You wouldn't believe how many people are like, nope, boring, sounds boring. And then ironically, when we got the show, Barbara Corcoran from Shark Tank was actually like a supporter and was like, oh, I'm really looking forward to watching the show. And then she told the story. When they were doing the first season of Shark Tank, all her friends were like, Barbara, no one's going to care about business or watching a bunch of shows. And she's like, here we are, you know, 19 seasons later. So,
yeah, well, we met her when we first were starting this, and we told her we were doing a show about entrepreneurism and IP. And she looked at me and she went, boring.
Well, I fooled her.
Well, here we are almost 8 years later. Sorry, Barbara.
But you sort of reinvented yourself, right, when you went from commercial real estate to media production, right? And what advice do you have for entrepreneurs who are wanting to reinvent themselves and take themselves to the next stage?
So commercial real estate's always been like my profit center, so to speak. So I've made enough money from commercial real estate that I could do like passion projects. So I own a software company, the TV production company. I'm just somebody that my whole life, if I decide I'm going to do something, I just say, hey, I'm doing this. Like if I could give advice to entrepreneurs, so many people try to convince other people to do something like, hey, I need to raise money, or I need to do this, or I need to do that. Hey, I was thinking about doing this thing. I've always just said, I'm doing this thing and I'm starting now. Do you want to be a part of it? If not, I might touch base with you in 3 months or never again. Everybody wants a proven sure thing and then they want to invest. It's like nobody needs you then. So
right.
One piece of advice I would give is just start doing it. And if you have to do it on the smallest scale to prove that it works, then do it.
Well, Todd, I have a question for you. Did you build your brand before you went to get on television, before you pitched the A&E show? Had you done a lot on social media and with the website and trying to build a brand for yourself in the media first?
Not social media. Like, I hate social media. Like, I know everyone says you have to do it. Like, I get pulled, like, along doing social media. When I was growing up, I'll be 45 at the end of the month. When I was growing up, there was, like, the truth, and then there were lies, right? But, like, the world we live in, everybody today is like, oh, well, that's my truth, or that's this. And, like, with social media, oh, you're not a tax attorney and you're not a accountant or a CPA, but you're a tax strategist. So there's all these people on social media that are complete charlatans that tell people to do all these things that are like, if not felonies, they're ridiculous. And they'll take one tiny little piece of truth and then they take all this garbage. So I'm not a fan of social media. So I have one, but I'm told constantly I need to.
Right.
Spend more time working on it.
Did you have to build a brand? Did you have to work on building a brand before?
Yeah, sorry.
So what did you do to build that brand then, if you hate social media, which I agree with you, I don't care for it either.
Building the brand was just doing the work. So no network would have given two cares at all about me, except so a lot of the people that are on TV today in the real estate world, they weren't real estate agents. But because the barrier to entry of real estate is so low, mm-hmm. you go take a course and bam, people go, oh, you're a real estate expert. I'm like, really? You went past a 75-hour course and now you're an expert? So because I have the track record, I was the youngest exclusive Starbucks broker in the country when I was 22. I work with a lot of big global brands. So that helped. And then just getting the resume. If I went and pitched this show 10 years ago, they would have been like, get out of here. So it was literally just the resume of they're like, this guy seems nuts. So, but maybe he has, you know, the bandwidth to do it. And then the show did well. And they're like, oh, I'll be dipped.
One more question on that. And then I hand it off to Richard. Did you take any presentation skills training or media training before you tried to get on TV?
I was born in Saranac Lake, New York, which is a very, very small place in upstate New York. And there was a woman called Sister Carolyn. She was a Catholic nun, and she had a program called Summer Sampler. And my mother put my brother and I in that program, and it was improv. So from the time I was 3 years old, we were doing improv. So I never, where most people have a fear of public speaking, mm-hmm. from the time I was three, you know, I remember this woman who's the director used to say, just say anything. Be like, here's where we're starting. Here's where we're ending. This is a script. It doesn't matter if you hesitate, if you talk. So A, taught you to not be afraid of speaking. It also taught you to pay attention, which I've realized I haven't done a good job of answering your questions. Like the first question I didn't even answer. I'm like a politician. I go, yep, and then say whatever I feel like saying. But so it taught you to like listen to people and react and be on your feet. So I did a lot of that. And then negotiating for a living, I have to literally be listening to what you're saying, what you're not saying. And so many deals fall apart. I always say every good commercial real estate deal dies three times before it happens. So I have to anticipate. I'm anticipating what people are saying. I'm anticipating what they're thinking. So it's just integrated. So it's like, oh, go do a TV show. It's like, well, it's not like a standard reality show. We're an actual docuseries. So they're just filming what's actually happening. So I don't need to be an actor. And then if you do enough interviews and things, you just sort of, you know, I used to get nervous and I'm like, it doesn't matter. Like if people like me, don't like me, who cares?
Yeah. Speaking of negotiation, what are your top negotiation strategies for entrepreneurs? Entrepreneurs are negotiating all the time. What do you think makes for a good negotiation?
That's kind of a loaded question, but I would say, number one, if you're just talking about we're in the middle of the negotiation, if you want something, say it, and then don't speak till the other person speaks. Because so many people will negotiate against themselves. They'll go, oh, I'll pay $500,000. I mean, maybe $550,000. And then they're staring at the person. Like, I never talk. I'll just let the person keep talking and let them negotiate against themselves. And then when they get done, I'm like, okay, now we're going to start from wherever you just ended up. People do that all the time. People don't like silence. So that's a huge thing where people just screw up in negotiating. They also will be too friendly and they'll just put all their cards on the table and go, well, I'm going to be honest. Or I tell people all the time, I'm a very direct, straightforward person. But people go, I'm just going to give you my bottom line. Like, don't do that. Never do that in negotiation because no one ever believes it's really your bottom line. So people can kill deals before they even start because they just put their best foot forward and go, I'm an honest person. Here we go.
To be a good negotiator, you kind of have to hold some things back, right? You have to have a strategy going in, understanding what it is that you want and an outcome is, and then take three steps back and start from there.
That's the biggest thing. So many people start going after, whether it's a goal, a negotiation, whatever, and they don't even know what their actual goal or end is. So you need to know what are your absolute deal breakers. And I always say never threaten something you won't do. Like, don't say, if you do this, I'm going to punch you in the face. You better be willing to punch that guy three times your size in the face, because if you don't, nobody will ever believe anything you say the rest of your life. So if you're in a negotiation, you say, I want this raise, and if you don't give it to me, I'm leaving. You better be prepared to leave, because if you stay, you should have just left, because you'll get treated terribly for the rest of the time you're there.
How do you balance being as active in your career as you are with ordinary life, you know, family life, having some sort of balanced life? Or do you not have a balanced life?
I didn't have a balanced life for a very, very long time. I was like the stereotypical entrepreneur that I'm just working 80, 90, 100 hours a week and I'll worry about my life later. And then when I turned 30, I had my first panic attack. I thought I was having a heart attack driving to a showing, which I've done thousands of times. And for 10 years, I literally had, at the worst, I was having 6 full-blown panic attacks a day that could have lasted upwards of 20 minutes. So literally, you can't catch your breath. Your heart's racing. Like, some people sweat. I didn't sweat from them, but it was just like, I would describe it, if you went to the top of iHeart Studios and held me off by my ankle over the edge, whatever way you'd feel is how it feels. Wow. And I grew up and always thought of myself as somebody who was mentally tough. I can do anything. Like, I can literally take on the world. So it's really, for someone who's an entrepreneur, it's just a mind bang, because you're like, oh my God, my brain is giving out on me. This is the thing that I make my living. This is my identity. Yeah. This is who I am.
You're losing control.
And it's literally giving out on me.
Yeah, you're losing control. How did you handle that? How did you address it?
So when I went to the doctor, and the doctor said, oh, well, you're 30 now, so your brain chemistry just changed. That happens. When I believed it to be true, that was my first mistake, because they started giving you different drugs, and you try different drugs and terrible side effects, and it's not really helping. The problem is, if you're having a panic attack, I've learned now, it's like, I do meditation. So in 2 years, I haven't had it. I haven't taken any medicine in 2 years. So I beat the panic attacks. But a very famous book, How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie, I recommend it to everybody, especially in negotiating. A lot of people don't realize he wrote a second book, and that book was called How to Stop Worrying and Start Living. And that book, actually, there were so many people back in the day that had panic attacks and anxiety disorders, but they didn't call it that. They didn't know what it was. So, but when they're describing it, you're like, yep, that was all the problem all those people were having. So there was a thing in the book that was kind of an aha moment for me. And then I started meditating and making sure I was sticking to my exercise regimen. It said, if you realize that panic and anxiety comes from your subconscious, it's basically just an alarm that's trying to tell you there's something in your life that's out of balance or out of whack. There's like something that you're walking through every day that you're ignoring or not addressing that you need to address and change. So it says, if you know that it's coming from your subconscious and your conscious always overrules your subconscious, that essentially when that panic starts to happen, if I told you White House, gray elephant, you can't think of those two thoughts at the exact same moment. You can think White House, gray elephant, White House, but you can't think of those two things at the same time. If you realize that, and then you know your body's trying to warn you and that's coming, if you tell, like I would tell myself, peace and calm, and I breathe in slowly, hold for 3 seconds, breathe out in the morning, like, you know, make sure I'm like loose. Eventually, it'll be like 20 minutes, then 15 minutes, then 10 minutes, 5 minutes. Eventually, it gives up, and it just, and then eventually you can retrain and reprogram your brain. But when people tell you, oh, your brain chemistry just fundamentally changed, I don't think
help.
That's true. No, it's not true, because then you don't try to, you don't look for the things. That's just the pharmaceutical industry basically just trying to say, take this pill, but you're not solving the underlying problem. It's like in business, if something's going wrong in your business, you can't just close your eyes and go, oh, it'll be okay. You have to go, what's the problem, and fix the problem.
So Todd, you're going kind of deep here, which is really cool. I appreciate that. I think a lot of people suffer that, but they don't want to talk about it and they don't know how to fix it. And I love that you did that. Is there something about yourself that you don't normally talk about that you think you could
share?
No,
I have people tell me I'm interesting, and I laugh because I'm like, I don't think I'm that interesting of a person. But a lot of people are worried what other people think about them, and I'm not. Like, unfortunately, being in a business I'm in, you have to have very thick skin. And then in the property management business, tenants complain about everything every day, and it's like this never-ending thing. So if I internalized every criticism or every praise, like, I would either have a huge ego or I would be jumping off a building. So I just kind of operate based on, what do I want to accomplish? What do I want to do? And that's my barometer. If people like it and they think it's cool, that's awesome. If they don't like it, it's like, I'm doing it anyway. So
that's good. That's a great way to live, right?
But I will say, with the panic thing, the stigma's gone away over the last like 10 years, or at least it's a lot less. But when I tell people, I don't think I've ever told that story and not had somebody be like, you know, I've had that, or my brother's had it, or my... So the more I talk about it and the more people talk about it, if people want to talk about it, that's the first step to figuring out how to fix that problem, because living with panic is terrible.
Well, and it's amazing because you're super successful and you think that people having panic attacks are like, I'm not going to be able to pay my rent next month. But it's everybody, right? It doesn't matter how successful you are. It still happens to all of us.
Right? And it comes out of nowhere. So it's like when it just gets triggered, the worst part about anxiety is a lot of times you don't consciously know what it's coming from, because it's coming from your subconscious. So it's the process of figuring out, why is this happening to me? Mm-hmm. And that's doing the hard work of figuring that out. But I think I defended it off for so long because I'm a serial entrepreneur and I run multiple businesses. I could stay busy for so long until my body was just obviously one day like, nope, like, you're not superhuman. Yeah. Welcome to humanity.
Yeah.
Well, I have a story about anxiety that I'll share with our audience at the end of the program. But coming up, we're going to be talking with Todd, and later we're going to hear about future-proofing your retirement and how to make your kids more confident readers.
Passage to Profit with Richard and Elizabeth Gerhart. We'll be back right after this commercial break. Do you hear that? That's the sound of uncertainty lurking under your hood. You know the feeling. I know I do. That sudden sinking sensation when you see a check engine light or your car unexpectedly breaks down and you're faced with sky-high repair bills. It's time to shield against unexpected repairs with CarShield. CarShield is America's most trusted auto protection company and has an A rating with the Better Business Bureau. Don't let the fear of a breakdown keep you up at night. Trust the Shield, CarShield, and say goodbye to terrifying repair bills and hello to peace of mind. Your plan also comes with 24/7 roadside assistance, courtesy towing, rental car options, and so much more. Don't wait till it's too late. Call CarShield now before a breakdown. Protect your wallet. Protect your car with CarShield. Get our best protection ever. Call now. You'll thank me later.
800-261-2176. 800-261-2176. That's 800-261-2176.
Have you outgrown your health insurance plan or just not happy with what you're paying for? The number one reason we all change our health insurance is price. Are you paying too much for your health insurance? Would you like to have better coverage at a better rate or at little or no cost to you? Your life needs are always changing, but have you done anything to improve your health insurance for you and your family? Health insurance laws and coverage are always changing and getting better. It's impossible to do all the research yourself, but now it's all done for you for free. So regardless of your age or medical condition, take a few minutes right now and find out if you can save money or even qualify for zero cost health insurance in your state. Call now.
Paid for by Cheaper Health Insurance.
800-652-1470. 800-652-1470. 800-652-1470. That's 800-652-1470.
Now back to Passage to Profit. Once again, Richard and Elizabeth Gearhart.
And our special guest, Todd Drylett.
So, Todd, you were telling us during the break, you're going to begin your second season of your A&E TV show. Tell us a little bit about the show and what happens on it for our viewers who haven't seen it.
It's called The Real Estate Commission. It airs on the A&E Network. It's the first and only show about commercial real estate. Unlike typical reality shows, it's a docuseries, so it follows me and my team at Titan Commercial Realty Group doing actual deals with real clients. So it just kind of follows that, but it really gives you the behind the scenes. So our second season, we start filming in a couple of weeks. If there are business owners, business executives expanding, looking to buy investment properties anywhere across the country, if they want to be a part of the show, they can apply at therealestatecommission.com.
You sponsor a business camp. Tell us a little bit about that.
So it's called the Titans of Tomorrow. It's a free business camp we do every year. It's a two-day camp. We do it at Siena University, which is my alma mater, in Loudonville, New York, which is the suburbs of the state capital, for a lot of people who don't know, in Albany. It's a two-day camp, and essentially there's teams of five. The first day we give them crash courses in everything entrepreneurship and running a business. Generally, it's kids from like New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, but they can technically come from anywhere. Why? It's open to 250 kids from ninth grade to seniors in high school. And then they can apply at the business camp starting right now. It's a one-page application at therealestatecommission.com.
Todd Drylett, A&E star who's closed over 1,700 commercial real estate deals. Where can people find you?
On the A&E Network or at therealestatecommission.com. I'm on LinkedIn. I'm on Facebook. Todd Drylett. I'm the only Todd Drylett in the country.